We are going to continue it in our series on the transition period, and you will remember that the last time we were together, we had considered the conversion of Paul to the Lord, and also we were observing his early ministry, the early hours of his ministry for Christ, and we were following his steps in the early days after his conversion. Now, we need to bear in mind that at Acts chapter 9, we have a pivotal point where we are beginning to turn away from the prophetic program gradually to the mystery program. So we are transitioning from the kingdom program to the church, the body of Jesus Christ. And again, we need to keep fixed in our minds that the theme of the book of Acts is the fall of Israel. And God is going to show us step by step how he has set Israel aside and how that he turned to us, the Gentiles. And so this is why the book of Acts is so very, very confusing to many of the brethren, and even to many of the grace brethren who haven't sat down to study these things diligently. I remember early in my ministry, it was just very clouded and very confusing to me, and I had difficulty trying to figure out what belonged in what program, and finally I just sat down with the blessed book, and I spent hour upon hour upon hour studying and researching, and finally came to a clearer understanding of what God the Holy Spirit is doing in the book of Acts and seeking to show us. And my finding was that after Acts chapter 9, we have the kingdom program continuing on under Peter and the 12 apostles. But what we're going to see is that it gradually is going to taper away and diminish and come to a close. Then at the same time, after Acts chapter 9, we have the mystery program that is running along simultaneously with the kingdom program, but Paul is the one who has been raised up to minister the gospel of the grace of God. And so as we go along with the Apostle Paul's ministry, we begin to see that it starts to supersede the kingdom gospel, which is being diminished and which is fading away. Now, with that in mind, we want to continue to follow through with the Apostle Paul's ministry this morning. And what we're going to begin to do from this point forward is to show you how God is beginning to turn to the Gentiles. Now, as we show this to you and present this to you, what it is a witness against the nation of Israel. Because you'll recall for 1500 years, God had channeled all of his blessings and channeled his word through that one divinely chosen nation. And so as we see him gradually turning to the Gentiles and expressing an interest in them and their salvation, it shows us that he is gradually turning his back on his chosen people and setting them aside. Also, we should point out, and this is so very important that we need to realize, that God did not raise up the Apostle Paul to preach the kingdom gospel, nor did he raise up Paul to offer the kingdom again to Israel. We have to remember what we have learned to this point. We have seen already how God gave Israel a second chance through the ministry of Peter and the other apostles, and how they refused to hearken unto that. And finally, they spoke very boldly and sent a message to God the Father in the stoning of Stephen that they will not have this man, that is Christ, to reign over them. So in rebellion, they rejected their Messiah And in Acts chapter 7, God sets them aside. And from that point on to the end of Acts, God is turning his sights and focusing on the Gentiles. Now, with that all in mind, that should teach us that what would be the purpose in raising up another apostle to go back to the Jews, to that former program that God is discontinuing. Why, it really wouldn't follow through, and also we need to realize that the Lord had Peter and the other apostles if he wanted to continue to do anything in the kingdom program. No, when we witness the conversion of Paul to Christ, the main purpose of his salvation is that he is being raised up to be the apostle to the Gentiles and to receive the revelation of the mystery and to commit it unto us as we believe on Christ and become members of the church, the body of Christ. Now, at the same time, the apostle Paul is revealing to the Jews in the synagogue that God is setting you aside, and he's turning and he's doing something new and different among the Gentiles. You can be saved by grace and justified by faith if you'll only believe in Christ, that he died for your sins and rose again. And this is what is being developed out to the end of Acts. Now here, as we turn our attention to Acts chapter 9 now, we would like to continue on in following through with the Apostle Paul, and also remember what we want to show you beginning this morning all the way out now to Acts 28 is how God is raising up the Gentiles and beginning a new program with them. Now you'll recall in the first 8 chapters it was Peter went here, Peter was persecuted, Peter offered the kingdom to Israel. It was Israel, the house of Israel, the children of Israel. But now, at Acts 9, this pivotal point, suddenly now it's Paul, and Gentile, and a new program being initiated. And while it is very gradual at first, it's in the infancy stages, and we have to be careful we don't read too much into it. It is going to be more fully developed as we move along. But you'll recall that last week, that as we had studied together, that the Apostle Paul, who was formerly Saul of Tarsus, had left Jerusalem, and he had received letters of the high priest to bring those back bound to Jerusalem, that they would be put to death. So Paul wasn't satisfied of persecuting the church of God at Jerusalem only. He went even unto strange cities to seek out the believers in Messiah and to bring them back to persecute them. And it was on his way to Damascus that he was converted to Christ. And he saw the resurrected Lord of glory in that heavenly vision. It was there that he was not only saved, but he was also commissioned to go forth with a Gentile commission. Now, he didn't understand everything about that on the road to Damascus, but the Lord had revealed that. He went on into Damascus, was there for 3 days, until Ananias came in, and he received his sight. Then he went into Arabia, and there he was there, and I've suggested, for approximately 40 days. You'll remember how Elijah had gone into the wilderness for 40 days, and also our Lord was 40 days in the desert. And so 40 days for his protection, and also it was during that time that the Lord of glory apparently appeared to him many, many times and began to dispense the revelation of the mystery to him in the very simplistic form. Because we know from Galatians 1 that Paul did not receive his message from man. And it was not committed to him by Peter or any other of the apostles, but he learned it from the Lord. Then he returned back to Damascus. He was there for 3 years. And he primarily, in the early days there, had a confirmation ministry. He came back confirming that the one I was persecuting is alive. I have seen the resurrected Christ with my own eyes, and what has been said about him is true. And he proclaimed him as the Son of God, and he placed the emphasis on the deity of Christ. Then, after 3 years, they sought his life in Damascus, and he comes back to Jerusalem. And that's where we left off. Now, here, in Acts chapter 9, and in verse 27, we read these words. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Now, I want you to note that very carefully. They went about to slay him. Here, the Apostle Paul leaves Damascus. He comes back to Jerusalem. Now, there really is a twofold purpose of why he comes back to Jerusalem. Number one was to meet with Peter. It was the time to reveal to Peter that God was doing something new among the Gentiles. And so apparently he was sent by the Lord this first time back to Jerusalem to speak to Peter. And you'll remember from Galatians chapter 1, he abode with Peter for 15 days, and they fellowshiped together. Now, here are the two great representatives that are meeting in Jerusalem. Peter is representing God's prophetic program and the earthly ministry of Christ. And the Apostle Paul is representing the church, the body of Christ, in the mystery program to the Gentiles. Now, Peter didn't know anything about this new program that God was instituting and implementing at this time. And so that's why Paul comes back to Jerusalem, and he is going to convey this to Peter. Now, as I said to you last week, I don't believe that Peter accepted what he said. You know, there was a great shroud of skepticism around the Apostle Paul yet. Why, many feared him. Why, he was the one, you'll recall, who had just recently been breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the church of God. And many of the believers, and Peter included, were reluctant to accept what he said. And was his conversion really authentic? Now, we can appreciate their apprehension, can't we? Can you imagine if someone came to you during World War II and told you that Hitler was converted and he wanted to meet with you and you were a Jew? Now, you know, you would have a little reluctance, and you would want to have a little evidence that that was really the case. And you would want time to bear that testimony out. And it was no different with the Apostle Paul. He hated those who spoke the name of Christ. And so on that very basis alone, they feared him and were reluctant to receive his testimony concerning Christ. But Peter met with him, and undoubtedly the Apostle Paul began to reveal to him that, Peter, the Lord is going to begin to set the law aside and Israel aside, and he's raised me up to go to the Gentiles. And personally, I don't believe that Peter accepted that right at the first. Now, with that in mind, as Paul continues his ministry at Jerusalem, we see the second purpose for it. He had such a burden for his countrymen that they come to Christ that he thought by returning to Jerusalem that he could reach them for the Lord. After all, he was one of the Lord's chief enemies, now converted. And he thought within himself that they would receive his testimony concerning Christ. But as we learn from verse 29, but they went about to slay him. Now, right at this time, you have to plug in Acts chapter 22, and let's go over there. Acts chapter 22. And in Acts chapter 22, you have another one of the chapters that reaccounts the conversion of Paul to Christ. Now again, we see the emphasis of his conversion that comes forth from the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit. Now just to pick up the context, in verse 4 of chapter 22 of Acts, it states, "And I persecuted this way," that is the way of Christ, "unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of elders." Then in verse 6, "And it came to pass that I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus. About the noon hour suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me." So there's no question that the theme of this chapter again is Paul coming to Christ. Now he goes on to show his movements in the early days after he was saved. And in verse 17 now we pick up after he has come back to Jerusalem. "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem," now that's when he came down here from Damascus back to Jerusalem 3 years after he was saved. And so Acts 9 and Acts chapter 22 follow the pattern of Paul's life. And it states, "Even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me," that is the Lord saying unto him. So Paul's at Jerusalem, he went into the temple to pray. Now, undoubtedly, he is praying that those whom he had persecuted, that the Lord would reach down and touch their hearts, that they would come to see and appreciate what Paul had come to see and appreciate and love. So he's in a trance praying for his countrymen that they would believe on Christ. Then in verse 18, "And saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me." Why? Why would they not? Who can tell me? First of all, who's the "they" refer to there? To the Jews. That's right. Here in Jerusalem, they hated Christ. The high priest hated him. The estate of the elders hated him. They hated that way. They hated the very mention of the name of Christ. So the "they" refers to Israel, and the Lord reveals to Paul, "They," that is Israel and the leaders of Israel, "will not receive thy testimony concerning me." Why? Who can tell me? Their hearts were hardened. That's right. And they had already rejected the Messiah. They had already stoned God's chief spokesman, Stephen. And God says, if that's your response, then I'm turning to the Gentiles. Now, as you read on in verse 19, "And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the remnant of them that slew him." So here Paul makes a defense for his kinsmen after the flesh. He said, "Lord, just give me a chance. Just give me a chance to stay here. I don't care about my life. I want to try to reach my kinsmen. I know that I can, because after all, I persecuted and I was the one responsible, one of the ones, for Stephen's death. And when I go and I'm able to sit down and talk to them that I was wrong and I've seen the resurrected Christ, surely they will believe." Paul never forgave himself for persecuting the church of God. And he thought by these actions that he could heal the wound that he had made upon his countrymen. But notice what the Lord says in verse 21. And he said, that is Christ, said unto me, depart. Now follow this closely. For I will send thee far hence unto the nation of Israel. Is that what it says? No, what's the word? Gentiles. The Lord knew in Jerusalem they wouldn't receive his testimony concerning him. He knew that in his foreknowledge that Israel was a stiff-necked people and hard-hearted. They were in rebellion and had rejected. God knew they would not receive their Messiah. And he knew that if the Apostle Paul stayed in Jerusalem much longer, it would mean his life. And so he tells them to get out and to go far hence, not to the Jew, but to the Gentile. Now that needs to be prominent in our thinking, that God is sending Paul to the Gentiles. As I've said, there's no question. He had a testimony among the Jews in the synagogue. He had to keep going back and telling them that God's setting you aside. And also, he kept wanting to come back to Jerusalem here to try to reach his countrymen. And finally, in the end, God just takes him prisoner and takes him to Rome and puts him in captivity. And that kept him away from Jerusalem. But here in verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles with that new message that he had already received in part. Then in verse 22, and they, now who's the they refer to? The Jews in Jerusalem that were vehement against him, and the ones that went about to slay him in Acts 9, and they gave him audience unto this word. What word? Gentiles, that's right. Not Christ. It wasn't Christ at this point, but it was the word Gentile that infuriated them. And the reason for that is because Paul was saying that God is sending me to the Gentiles in spite of Israel. And you need to be saved like the Gentiles. You need to respond in faith to Christ. And it infuriated them whenever he told them that he was to conduct a ministry among the Gentiles. How could that be? The Gentiles were the dogs. They were the ones who were without hope and without God in the world, while the Jew at this time looked down on the Gentiles and they'd have no dealings with them whatsoever. And here comes one of their own who had persecuted them. He says that I'm saved, I've seen the resurrected Lord of glory, and he's sending me to these Gentiles that they can be saved too. Why, the Jews were filled with indignation and jealousy, and boy, they started to seize him, and the Lord says, out of Jerusalem, and I'm sending you far hence unto the Gentiles with this new message. And then they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, who would say such a thing concerning the Gentiles, for it is not fit that he should live. Now at this point, the question comes to our mind, well, where did he go? Where did Paul go? Well, let's turn to Acts 9 and also Galatians chapter 1. Where's far hence to the Gentiles? Certainly isn't Rome, because, my, we're just in his early ministry here. We're just getting started. Acts 9 and Galatians chapter 1. Now in verse 30 of Acts 9, as we follow the story through, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to where? Tarsus. So when the brethren learned that they were going about to slay him, and it was revealed unto them that Paul was to leave by the word of the Lord and go far hence, somewhere else, to minister to the Gentiles, they brought him down to Caesarea, and they sent him forth on his ship to Tarsus. Now that takes us over to Galatians chapter 1. Now, in verse 18 of Galatians 1, we read, "Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. We already studied that. "But other apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not." And verse 21 is a key. "Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia." And here would be the regions that he was sent far hence to the Gentiles. Now remember, we're still in Acts chapter 9 at this point. So he leaves Jerusalem. The brethren escort him on the way, and they bring him up here to Caesarea. He departs apparently by ship, and he goes up to Tarsus, and lo and behold, Tarsus is a city in Cilicia. It was where Paul was originally from. And so he goes to Cilicia and also Syria, and he spends approximately 4 years in the regions of Cilicia and Syria. Now, are these Gentile areas or Jewish areas? Who can tell me? Who knows their Bible geography? These are Gentile areas, that's right. Right about right here is where the land of Palestine ended in biblical times. Now, a part of this, according to the inheritance of the land, you know, Israel was going to own all of this. She'll even own clear over to the Euphrates River, down to Egypt, and north of Syria, what we call Syria today. But back at this time, this area would have been Samaria, and this area would have been the land of Palestine and Judea to the south. But up to the north here, these were all prominently Gentile areas. And as we've said, the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with them. So Paul is sent far hence, as it says in Acts 22, to the Gentiles, and he spends approximately 4 years. Now, what is he going to do for 4 years in a Gentile area with a commission to the Gentiles, and he has in part some of the message he's delivering unto them? You know what some say? He went into retirement 4 years. Now, you think back, even after you were saved and you had a knowledge of the word rightly divided, what you were able to do the first 4 or 5 years that you had knowledge of that, you reached an awful lot of people, didn't you, for the Lord? At least I hope you did. And it was no different with Paul. Now, we have to remember who we're talking about here. We're talking about the great Apostle Paul. It would be difficult for me to think that he went home and retired for 4 years after all he had seen and heard and knew that he was to do. And especially after the Lord appeared to him in Jerusalem and said, "Hey, I'm sending you up there to the Gentiles, now go, and we are to conclude to preach to the Gentiles and convert them to Christ." Now, did he? Yes or no? I heard somebody say yes. Okay. Can you point to the scripture for me where we can substantiate that he preached to the Gentiles and had converts? Anybody know the chapter? Book and chapter. All right. Let's look at Acts chapter 15. See if we can find out. In Acts chapter 15, you have the account of the Jerusalem Council, where Paul and Peter come together again. And it is Peter who stands up, as we're going to see in later lessons, and says, you know, everything that Paul has told you, that the Gentiles will be saved apart from Israel and apart from circumcision, is true. I know it's true. We'll show you why later. But at Acts 15:23, they write letters to the Gentile, now get this, to the Gentile churches and to the Gentiles in these areas. Verse 23, "And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren sent greeting unto," now what's the next word? Brethren. Now, the brethren would be those who are saved, like we call one another the brethren today, "which are of what?" This is Acts 15:23, "which are of the what? Gentiles, where at? In Antioch, in where? Syria and Cilicia. So when we come to Acts chapter 15 and we have this great dispute over the Gentile salvation, after it is remedied, then they determine that the best thing to do is we need to write letters to these brethren and to these churches and send it to them that they might know what the final outcome of the conference was. So they write letters to the Gentiles here in Antioch and also in Cilicia and Syria. Now the question that comes to my mind, this is following on the heels of Acts chapter 9, who was it that brought those Gentiles to Christ? Now, it certainly wasn't the 12 apostles, because they were still laboring down there in Jerusalem, trying to convince the leadership down there that they needed to turn to Messiah without any results. And the Great Commission was what? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then who? Then the Gentiles. So Jerusalem had to be converted first, and we know that they never did turn to Christ. And so they never really got out of Jerusalem. And the last place you see the 12 apostles in the book of Acts is still in Jerusalem. As late as Acts 12 and Acts 15 and Acts 21, they're still all there. And some of them are losing their lives, and the Lord doesn't see fit to put new apostles of the kingdom into place because the program is fading away, see. So we know that these Gentiles could have not been saved according to the Great Commission because it wasn't time to go to the Gentiles yet. The Jew, according to the prophetic program, had to be converted first. So who converted these Gentiles? Well, we just learned from the book of Acts, and, if words mean anything, there you are, that it was Paul who was sent there. He was there, we know, for approximately 4 years, and he was preaching what he had learned in Arabia from the Lord. And if it was only that Christ died for your sins and rose again, if you're saved, then you'll become a member of the body of Christ and have a heavenly hope. Even if it was just that, that's all they needed to know, to be saved and have eternal life and to have hope. It's interesting in Paul's ministry that after he converted someone, what was the next subject he took up? Who can tell me? The very next subject after he converted someone, he gave them what? Hope. That's right. He gave them hope. And what that is to do, and this is a good practice to follow in Paul's ministry as we look at it. After you bring someone to Christ, to keep them safe and secure in the Word of God until they grow spiritually, you need to give them hope. That you need to continue in the faith, you encourage them, because you have that heavenly hope and you can look forward to the rapture. So Paul converted them. Then the next thing he did, he told them about the rapture, which thrilled their hearts, and it helped encourage them through those turbulent hours of their early conversion when they would be criticized and have a tendency to fall away. And so I would say at least he knew that and committed salvation and the hope of the Gentiles to them in heaven, and they were converted and churches were established during those 4 years in those areas. Now, it's interesting, with that all in mind, that as you come down to Acts chapter 15, as Paul launches out on his second apostolic journey, he has the dispute with Barnabas, and he chooses Silas, verse 40. And Paul chose Silas, this is Acts 15:40, and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the what? The churches. That's right. Now, the question comes, were they Jewish churches or Gentile churches? Messianic churches or churches of the body of Christ? No question. It has to be churches of the body of Christ and Gentiles, because we learned that back at verse 23 in Acts 15. So, what you have here is, through Paul going far hence to the Gentiles, you have a smattering of Gentile churches in Syria and Cilicia and in Tarsus. Now, whenever Paul begins out on his second apostolic journey, he leaves and he comes up into this area with Silas, and they confirm the churches that were already established in those areas. And so here in his very early ministry, we have Gentiles who are saved by the grace of God, and they're established, and Paul goes back as early as his second apostolic journey to confirm them. Now, only Paul could do that because he knew where they were at, and he was instrumental in their conversion and their coming to Christ. All right. Now, that shows you how you can expand the message. You know, I had planned to really teach on Acts chapter 10 this morning, and when I saw the time just slipping away from us there, I thought, well, let's just keep going on that. So it shows you how vast this arena is, and that there gives you a picture of some of the early movements of the Apostle Paul. Now, the next time we're together, we're going to view Cornelius and Peter going to the Gentiles. Now, boy, you talk about throwing you a curve. Here we are talking about Paul, and the Gentiles, and in Acts chapter 10, here goes Peter to the Gentiles. Now, it seems confusing, doesn't it? But we'll hope to shed a little light on that, because there is something very, very special you need to see from Acts chapter 10.